Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to 30 Minutes of Wisdom. I'm Gregory Mascari, and I am honored and grateful to be able to share with you 30 more minutes of wisdom here today. Rob and I started Enlightened Networking, and these regular weekly 30-minute of wisdom calls is our way of kind of paying it back to the profession of direct sales network marketing and entrepreneurship for the many, many years and decades of wonderful people and opportunities and abundance that we've been able to share. So each week we invite enlightened speakers, trainers, authors, coaches to join us and share their insights into life and give us practical tips and tools and principles that we can use not only in our business but all areas of our life. And it certainly gives me great delight and honor to introduce to you our host for our call here, my beloved partner in life, Robin Blank Mascari. And Robin, I'll turn the call over to you at this point.
Well, thank you, Gregory, so much for all that you do that holds the space for making this work so well. I appreciate it. And thank you, everyone, for joining us, whether you're here live or listening to the recording during the week or on the website. So good morning and good day and good evening, whatever that may be. And today is about being fearless. I love that. Our speaker comes with some great credentials. She's really a coach's coach. She's trained hundreds of coaches across five countries. The CEO of a company called Soul Salt, and we'll get into that in just a few minutes. Life strategies and business coaching. CEO of Head Trip Audio, and I started looking into that one recently, and our speaker and I have a lot of mutual friends, which is really fun. The audio magazine for business, small business owners, and her recent efforts as director of innovation has been to design and lead the creation of the coach training school at Legacy Learning, which was actually formerly the Franklin Covey Coaching, and creator of the Entrepreneur's Toolkit. So this wonderful woman is a thought leader. She's passionate, she's innovative, and totally committed to learning and coaching others for living a balanced and fulfilling life. Her hunger for knowledge and personal evolution is like other people's hunger for grandma's hot apple pie. But she's also unique in that she really knows how to live a balanced life and enjoy those wonderful, special little treasures. She was a referral from one of our guests, actually a couple, Dana and Neil Phillips, and we are so grateful. And from the first time I spoke with her, I was really touched. It was like coming home, actually. She has a clarity and focus along with a beautiful open heart and soul that I think is a rare combination. So just after a few minutes of learning about her and her story, I know why she has this topic for today. So we are really honored to have as our guest on 30 Minutes of Wisdom, Lynn Christian. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning.
It's great to have you.
It's wonderful to be with you. Thank you.
Oh, yay. And before we get into our topic, you've got such a great story. Could you kind of share a little bit of where you came from and how you came to this work? And then after that, I want to ask a little bit about that company name. So you want to start there?
Okay. Well, I came from a young woman who was thinking that she would go into law because I was on a debate team in high school that was winning awards early on, and I thought, well, a person who can debate well and who's interested in getting the highest speaker points every time you compete has to go into law. And then I put myself through some crises, as we do sometimes when we're young, and was harming myself in some of my behaviors. And in one of those moments of realizing that I wasn't sustaining a very good life as a teenager, I gave up the notion of becoming an attorney and became a teacher in college. So I started in the world of academics and realized that I had far too many ideas for a bureaucratic system. I realized that the innovation that I am prone to could only be rewarded in business. And so I moved from academics to business, and in that switch found a coach to assist me. I didn't even know what that was. Someone said, well, if I were in your place and I was moving from academics and reinventing my working identity, I'd talk to a business coach. And I was like, what's that? And from the second I met this coach, I wanted what she had. I didn't necessarily go into coaching to become a coach. I went into coaching to learn about the personal growth that I saw in this individual as she worked with me and supported me to jump into business. And from that, I have worked for corporations. As you mentioned, we both have worked for the Franklin Covey Corporation. In my heart of hearts, I knew I was an entrepreneur. I was an innovator. And so at some point, I set myself free to create my own business. And that's kind of how I arrive at your doorstep. I've been doing that since, 98. I've had small businesses. And since 2004, I've been a complete free agent.
You honored those feelings, which a lot of us somehow they lose them somewhere. So I just acknowledge you for taking that courageous step that a lot of people don't do. And then you created this company called Soul Salt. I think that's a fascinating name, and it's got a fun little history to it. Can you share a little bit about that?
Right. So, you know, I've gone through this process of reinventing, and that is one of the things I do when I support people is I support individuals who are transitioning in their working identity. So I've gone from teacher to project manager to writer and developer to director of innovation to becoming a coach. And as I work with entrepreneurs, I realize that when I started out in 98, I didn't know I could coach entrepreneurs. I was coaching restorative clients, people who were crossing that threshold from therapy into life coaching. And I was mentored by a millionaire at the time who said, don't be too quick in naming your company or even going out and getting a business license. This was his advice. Make sure that this will fly. And so from 98 until about 2002, I did get a business license eventually, but I just started out coaching people and seeing who came to me. And then I'm one of those people who realize that when we live so deeply and passionately in our own lives, we have a hard time really naming what it is we do and the value we offer. And so I had about 4 years of clients, and I sent those to a marketer and the branding group that I was using and asked them to interview the clients because I knew they could express the value I was giving as a coach better than I could. They were experiencing it. And what happened consistently as the marketers were talking to these people, there was this pattern of, well, there's this part when I work with Lynn that comes alive, that's more esoteric. It's almost like a spiritual experience. There are things that touch my soul and change me from within. And then there's this other part of working with Lynn that is very much a part of the tangible, palpable world, like time management, getting my finances together, the things I have to touch and taste and smell and encounter in a tangible world. And living in Salt Lake, I'm sure, influenced the marketers because that's where I reside. And so they took those two pieces and said, well, we would suggest that you call your coaching the salt of the soul. And I looked at that and went, you know, that just doesn't roll off your tongue. What if we transpose that and call it Soul Salt? And they said, great. And so literally my company became named by the people who gave me a reflection of what I do for them. And that's good advice. You and I have talked about this. Robin, this is really a nice way to brand yourself, is to not brand yourself. Don't get in too big of a rush. A lot of times people are worried about a logo and they're worried about branding, and you haven't had enough experience as an entrepreneur, as a small business person, to really know what that name could or should or ought to be. And so a lot of times it's wise to function as a DBA or something until you really understand how to verbalize what you do. I think the saying is, sometimes we don't know who we are until we look behind us and see what we have done.
Mm. Well, so beautiful. And what I'm hearing is this thread throughout your life, starting young, where you reached out to people that had a bigger perspective, some professionals and people that were wiser in places you didn't see, and you sought their advice. and you took it in and landed with what felt right. So you're wise enough to do that, and I think that's a really important thing for many of us to realize, that we're not doing this alone and that there's people out there to support us in our process. And your coaching and your work developed, and then you kind of came into this work of, I love it, being fearless. And I would love you to share, Lynn, what do you mean when you use the word fearless, and how does that work when you're working with people?
Okay.
I love it because I personally hadn't really gone there myself until I talked to you and went, and I had to take a deep breath and going, oh, that's what I need.
Well, it's very much the same story as the soul salt. I recently have had a lot of people call me a badass, and I'm like, well, how come you're calling me that? I mean, when you have 10 or 12 people in your circle calling you the same thing, you know, I've asked them, what does that mean? And when they sit down with me one-to-one, they tell me what they see, and they just simply say, Lynn, you are one of those people who has a lot of congruence and extreme alignment between what you say you value and how you behave. There's not a lot of discrepancy. And what I truly value, if I were to nail it down to three things, which is typically something I ask my clients to do, so we know what our anchor is, our moorings. I stand for freedom and courage and integrity. And when you stand for that, what you start to find is if you turn around again and look at your life, you have these incidents where it's a nemesis or it's something calling you out. You know, we can't hide from it if we want to grow. Those things that are our greatest challenges are going to come right in front of us and face us off if we're truly devoted to personal growth. And so each time those things have shown up, I've either responded immediately or waited until my nervous system could handle it, and I've stepped into it and said, okay, game's on. Let's deal with it. You know, and that's what the fearlessness is. And so having experienced that myself time and time again through some of these reinvention processes, and also by taking on challenges that mentors and my heart have called me to, I have understood from the inside out how to support people who want to be more strong and more true, who want to have a sense of being fearless. And I have learned so much about the topic of fearless in this laboratory called life that I would tell you it is far more complex than seeing the hard thing and doing it anyway. It's far more detailed than that.
Whoa. Well, you took on a way to experience viscerally at a very deep level this thing called being fearless, from taking on competitive sports, you know, really starting after the age of 50. And so I'm really curious about, you know, why did you do that? And how did that impact you personally and the work you're doing and how you're able to support other people?
Okay. Well, that's a fair question. The most recent challenge that I think you are talking about came from me working with a client here in Salt Lake. The client is Jim Jones, G-Y-M-J-O-N-E-S, and you can Google that. And it's a gym. It's a world-class gym created by extreme alpinist Mark Twight and his wife Lisa. And they called me because a former client of mine had referred them to me, because I work with those entrepreneurs that have reached a certain level and they need to go to the next level. They need to go big, which kind of brings that fearless nature up. You know, that's a huge challenge. And so they hired me for a transition. And when they finished, they turned to me and said, look, we know you work out. And I didn't even know what I was doing. I was just trying to stay fit, being able to be healthy and have freedom in my body to do what I want to is important to me. And so they took me into training. And the first trainer they gave me is a man named Rob Maximus McDonald, a former MMA fighter. And he looked at me and he saw something inside of me that I didn't even know. And he said, Lynn, you have tenacity and you have strength, more than you know. And he said, I'm going to train you to do a double body deadlift. Now, I did not know what that was, but basically what that is for the listeners is you take your body weight, times it by two, and you learn to pick that much up off the ground with dumbbells, or excuse me, with weights. They're not necessarily dumbbells. You might start with dumbbells, but a bar and some plates. And so it took over a year because we found that I had some weaknesses in my body. I had a compressed hip and some other things, and we worked, and I could lift 165 pounds and 185 pounds, 200 pounds. And every time I did that, what Maximus was teaching me was how to lift it with my mind, how to surpass limitations that I may have had previously, because I'm not a big person. And those of you who are listening will realize it. I'm a female, so sometimes my weight vacillates between 115 and 120 pounds. So the weight that I was at when I lifted 230 pounds was 115, and that was a double body dead weight. And that was a double body deadlift. That means I pulled that thing up, and I changed my life forever. Because after that, I had reached this long goal, and Maximus said, "You did that, Lynn. And now because of that, I will sponsor you here at the gym." Now, this is a gym where they've trained the athletes from many sports, professional sports. Right now there are two NFL players who are in the gym. They've trained the Navy SEALs, the group that went over and had some recent secret missions. They trained the men who were the Spartans in the movie 300, and currently they're working with the Superman movie. They worked with Jude Law for Repo Men. So this is an elite group, and they're saying to me, "We'll sponsor you. And here's the trick. You just have to re-enter competitive sports." Now, why did I do this, you ask? And I thought,
good question.
Yeah, if I stand for courage, if in my heart of heart, if I'm true to myself, and I say that I'm for freedom and courage, and I am for honesty, there's an adolescent male in all of us, and that part of me screamed out and said, "Take this challenge." And the adventuresome part of me said, "Yes, you will learn things here that will help translate to you supporting your clients as you learn how they support you." So I took on a challenge of doing a triathlon. And the reason why this was such a challenge is because as a child I almost drowned. And I am afraid, I am petrified of drowning, even in a swimming pool. And most triathlons are held in open water. And so I decided to take on this nemesis, this thing that even my children did not know. And I started to learn how to swim. I mean, to the point where I got in, and the first day my trainer said, "You can't do the doggy paddle and swim." And all I knew how to do was the doggy paddle. I did not want to put my head under the water. So we spent the first hour of my training session teaching me how to blow bubbles. And I'm standing in 4 feet of water, I'm 50 years old, and I'm thinking, this is ridiculous. But I was in panic. I made my trainer stand by my side so I could see his hand. So when I put my head under the water and went completely underneath, if I needed to, I could grab his hand. That's how terrified I have been of water. And I decided it was time for me to see what I could do against this fear. Because I knew it would not only change my life, it would give me information to help individuals who are trying to reach that next big level or trying to push something they feel like has always held them back. And if I'm not in the grist of my own mill, if I'm not in the grasp of my own challenges, I might miss something that would help me better support them. So I think that's the story you're alluding to, right?
It is. And why don't you fast forward to the place where you got to fully experience the fear?
Oh, okay, I'm going to take a deep breath because talking about it gives me chills. So I trained from January to September to do my first triathlon in 2010. And I picked the Xterra U.S. Championships that are here in Utah. And I picked those because I also knew that I wanted to use a mountain bike instead of the road bike. I wanted to be in the mountains. And I also knew that it was a rigorous sort of triathlon. It would test me, and it would give me a chance to have as much time as possible because this triathlon is toward the end of tri-season. So I trained hard, and I went out in the open water, and I panicked, and my swimming coach saved me. I did everything I needed to do. I ate right. I slept right. I've learned a lot about staying balanced and getting recovery and sleep. And then I did my first triathlon a year ago, September 2010, and my whole thing was I learned during that training that I will never overcome my fear of drowning, and I learned to be at peace with that. What I learned was that the deal is we have something that we're afraid of that's so massive, one of the things we can do with that is just learn to manage ourselves and keep ourselves from going to panic. And so that was the strategy I worked on. And in my first triathlon, I got into the water, and I just played my game. I was slower than most of the other swimmers. I never had to go back on my back and float, though, because I was able to manage my fear from going into panic. And I got out of the water, and I was smiling, and I was healthy and happy and whole, and I jumped on my bike, and I practiced, and I rode my bike and enjoyed it and put myself to that challenge. And then I did the 5K at the end. I do the sprints, the triathlon sprints, and finished and walked around for 45 minutes just reveling in the fact that I was alive and I was well and I felt fit and my family was there supporting me. And I felt like I was transformed, and I took my card that had my time on it, and we got in the car and we started to drive home. And I looked at my card and I realized I took second place.
Whoa.
In my very first triathlon, I had placed second, and I attribute that to the training and the mentoring I received.
Mm.
And from that, I went ahead and said, okay, make sure this is real. I need to do this three more times. So last summer, I did three more triathlons. And the most recent one was to go back to the Xterra 2011. There was a lot of hubbub about this race because Lance Armstrong decided he was going to join us. So a lot of publicity. I was ready. You know, I was a year under my belt. I got into this same race, better prepared, and then this is where my fearlessness was truly, truly tested. 30 yards into the water, someone was panicking next to me. He hit me from behind three times in the head, pretty hard. He was using his fists because he was struggling. It knocked me into a place where I was not as coherent as I could have been, and I was in trouble. I was taking in water. I was truly afraid I was going to drown. And in fact, had I not turned off the little voices in my head that were telling me I was drowning, because I had too much water in my lungs, I would have drowned that day. But what I did instead was found out that fearlessness is not being a tough guy or a tough girl in those situations. It's about being very, very small and humble and having two things at your disposal. One, the ability to call out to something larger than yourself and say, I cannot do this without you, and I need you, and I'm open to your help. And the other part, the preparation that I went through, instinct came into place. The hours I had spent swimming kicked into place. And I went into automatic pilot, crying out with all my soul for help. And in that moment, I began to swim again. And this time I finished a minute sooner than I had the year before in the water. I got on the mountain bike, and I didn't realize how disoriented I had been in that experience in the water until I tried to shift in the first mile. And I'd been hit on the left side in the back, and it was my right side that I couldn't shift well with. And after the first mile, I was able to shake that off and finish the bike ride with a really good time and the 5K. And I finished again in second place. The year before, the woman who took first had beat me by about 20 minutes, and this year only 8.
Wow.
What I learned about fearlessness that day was that sometimes courage and being fearless is opening yourself completely to grace.
Wow.
And that is viscerally in your body forever.
Yes.
That is an amazing story. And, you know, a lot of people fear doing things like that just for that very reason. And realizing, again, we're not alone. We're not alone. Well, you, again, you found people that saw something in you and helped you grow into that. And I think part of being a coach is holding that bigger vision of what's possible for people. And thank you so much for sharing those amazing stories, because I know you take that into your work. And when I look at your resource page, Lynn, which will be available online, by the way, because you have suggested books and some activities and things, and I see a real orientation here that I absolutely resonate, which is, you know, discovering and honoring our strengths. How how does that fit with where you've been and the kind of work you do with people? Why is that so important?
That's a great question. If we are to be at our best, we need to be strong and true. And so a great place to start is to find out what muscles, what traits, what do we already have that came innately with us that is part of our strength profile. And that's one reason I'm a coach. Coaching is based on positive psychology and strength-based performance. And so the research tells us that if we focus on our weaknesses, we waste our time. If we focus on our strengths and learn how to let those lead and manage the things we might consider our weaknesses, that's when we leverage ourselves to greatest capacity. And so I focus on those resources because people have that sort of strength that if they're true to it, can actually propel them forward. And knowing those things is useful as a coach in knowing where to support them. And something that you may have picked up on, because I know you're a student of this positive psychology and strength-based performance as well, is that a lot of times people misname the things that they feel are tripping them up as weaknesses, when what I find out when I work with individuals is that usually it's a strength that we haven't learned how to manage and utilize. It may be manifesting itself as a weakness, but once we understand how to manage it and use it, that thing goes away as far as being called a weakness, and it can become a tool.
That is, you know, that awareness, and it really is a paradigm shift for so many people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have a favorite resource, Marcus Buckingham, who started out in the Gallup organization. He has many books. Could you recommend for people a place to start and really, really learning about how to discover and, you know, work with strengths and understand that distinction between, because he explains it really differently than anyone else I've ever heard. So could you kind of guide people where to start with that work for themselves?
Certainly. If you're looking for it for yourself, The Truth About You by Marcus Buckingham is a great little book and DVD, and it gives you a more reflective manner of naming your strengths. So if you're somebody who would like to have a quiet, reflective, meditative experience in discerning your strengths, that's a wonderful resource. He also has a new book, I believe it's called Standout, and that will give you an online assessment. And these are for individual strengths. If you're interested in how your strengths manifest, Tom Rath has a book called Strength Finder 2.0, which comes from the Gallup and some of the original research that Marcus was part of and the Gallup management team. And that's a great resource to use if you're interested in how does it look inside of a company? What do my strengths look like at work? And then you know, as you've taken the VIA Strength Finder, the VIA Character Strengths, if you're looking for another dimension of your character and how your strengths manifest in your personal character, that's a free online assessment. So those would be some recommendations.
Oh, fabulous. And I just want to make sure people, you know how to find Lynn, because she's filled with tremendous resources. And you can go to lynnchristian.com, LYNCHRISTIAN.com. And Lynn, you've got an iPhone and an iPad app, and I've been there. Would you talk about that just a little bit? Because I know one of the main challenges that I hear from most everyone is time management, and you've got a great little app.
Well, thank you. It is a fun little thing to share. And anyone that's listening to this, if you want to email me at lynn@soulsalt.com and say that you were part of listening to this, all you need to do is in that email, give me your email associated with iTunes, and I'll send you a coupon from iTunes to have it for free. It's just a 99-cent app. It's called Today and Not Today. And in my years of working at Franklin Covey and working with individuals, I have found that there's not a one-person, one-planner system that fits everybody. And so I created this little app because it uses two steps. One is creatively dump everything in your head that has to get done, and then use your left brain to sort out really what's critical for today And this little tool is created to help you use for daily planning or anytime you feel like you're in a crisis and you need to cut through the chaos and find out what your critical path is so you can stay strong and true to your day. And so the iPhone app is little sticky notes being dumped into a bucket, and you have a choice of today critical, today important, which is not critical, and not today. And it forces you to be honest so that you can be strong about what needs to be done.
I love it. And there's also these wonderful, encouraging little quotes from you along the way. I had to buy it because I just had to get into it right away. And it's not just helpful, it's fun. And that helps people. And you've got, you know, a 12-volume audio program called the Head Trip Collection. And I just had, it was so fun for me to go through that because when I talk to you later, I'll share with you how many other commonalities we have. So people can reach Lynn at Lynn, L-Y-N, at soulsalt.com. And if you're interested in exploring the possibility of working with her, you can reach her there. You can send that email if you want to get the app. And this woman helps cut through and truly support people in, you know, focusing and stepping up in a way that is transformational. And I love it because who you are is a true embodiment of those values you talked about. So any other final comments, Lynn, before we complete our 30 minutes of wisdom for this morning?
Yes, there's one thing I would just say, and this is something I've learned this past year. It doesn't matter so much what we do. It matters more who we become while we're doing what we do.
Why don't you say that one more time?
Yeah, it's not as much about what we do as it is who we are becoming while we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And we so appreciate you taking the time to be with us, and we'll complete our recording for now, and if those of you who are here want to stay on the line, we'll have a few minutes to visit with Lynn in a Q&A, so if you can stand by for just a moment here while I stop the recording. And before I do that, I just want to talk about next week, and it's someone that I believe Lynn knows also. He was one of the founders of the Covey organization, and when I worked there back in the late 80s before the Seven Habits book came out, I got to work with this man. His name is Ron McMillan, and he has written some extraordinary books with a few other partners from the Covey organization called Crucial Conversations and Crucial Confrontations. Very important. Very important work, and I'm thrilled that we get to have Ron McMillan with us because a lot of people avoid those important conversations that are life-changing, and there's simple strategies and tools and systems to really develop what we need to deal with what's most important there and connecting with people. So stand by for just a moment, and I will complete our recording, and again, thank you, Lynn.
Thank you.